coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Got some NFL chatter we're going to get to here in a little bit. So fun-filled 5 o'clock hour. Let's talk some Cubs, though, first.
Frederick!
Jesse Rogers is brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. It's awesome. Len Casper drives the new RAV4 as well, the hybrid. We're all the cool kids right now. It's Waddle and Sylvie, and on the Corona Hotline is Jesse Rogers. What was more surprising, Jesse? Was it Giolito today or Hendricks yesterday?
Probably Giolito, because Hendricks was coming off an illness with extra days off. And, I mean, the Red Sox are a good hitting team, but I think the Braves are one of the best in the league. So I would say Giolito was a little bit more surprising. I Eduardo Perez on Baseball Tonight, they were doing what best prop bets, and he said, I'd take the Braves to score in the first inning. And he said it really emphatically. And I thought about it, and I was right. Hendricks' worst inning is the first, illness, extra days off. I wasn't surprised he looked off. Now, I've never seen him look that bad. But Giolito today, man, wow. They really got to his changeup. So I guess Giolito only because Hendricks coming off the illness.
Are you surprised the Cubs can't get anything really going? I mean, there are some out there, Randy Merkin, that thought that Willie's home run, you know, to respond and win 3-2 against the Brewers was going to be some sort of momentum builder. Then Saturday, they used up all their runs for the month of April. I mean, you're not surprised at this point, are you?
No, not at all. I mean, they don't really have a stopper in the truest sense on the mound. I mean, Hendricks is as close as you're going to get, but you know what I mean? Okay, even past him, if he's going well, they don't have anybody that's absolutely going to lock it down like Darvish would if you're in a losing streak, and that's on the mound. Then you go to the plate, and we know how inconsistent they're going to be. I mean, is Merkin really going to be fooled by a game here or a game there, even Saturday or Sunday? And let's face it, they're not going to finish, I don't think, with a 160 or 190 batting average. But we know it's not going to go all the way up to the top of the league. So, no, I'm not surprised by what's going on. I thought they had a little bit more depth, which they kind of do, but their frontline players aren't great right now. I mean, those starters haven't been great. Arrieta's probably been the best of the group, but Davies has been bad. Williams has been okay, but Hendricks not so good. And we know the offense is still bad, even though they had a couple good, you know, moments over the weekend. And remember, the Braves didn't throw anybody that they would be throwing in October. That was three guys that we won't see for the rest of the year once the Braves get healthy.
Yeah, it's amazing. Jesse Rogers joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So most of the Cubs talk because of that has been still, hey, when do they get rid of some of these guys? KB's off to a good start. What about Wilson Contreras? Before we go there, I want to bring up Javi Baez because it was reported during the game yesterday that Buster Olney said pre-COVID, Javi turned down a deal worth about $180 million. And we had not heard a figure. You had taken us through all last year in real time that you thought they were getting close before the shutdown there. What can you tell us about what was turned down and how much money you may end up losing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's semantics, but it's very important. I don't think he necessarily turned down $180 million. I think the clock ran out on him. And I think I've kind of indicated that to you guys. If there's anybody that lost money because of the pandemic, I mean, like in an immediate sense, it's him because he was that close to signing. I saw him in early March at a video game thing. He was on the cover of the show. Saw him and his agent there. This is early March last year, and they were getting close. Now, was the number 160, 170, 180? Christian Yelich had just signed for 215. And remember, Yelich was one in MVP voting. Baez was two after the 2018 season. There's no doubt that Baez's people were trying to push the whole thing towards $200 million. I think I've said this to you before. If they drop a two in front of Baez, he's going to take it. This is a while ago. Of course, the Cubs weren't quite there. I remember, Tommy, you asking me, what do you think a deal for Baez would be? And I said about 170, 175. So long story short, if they had known things were going to shut down, I'm sure they would have taken whatever the last thing the Cubs mentioned to them was. But they were still in negotiations. So it's hard to say he flat out turned something down when they're talking, and the pandemic hits, and now everything shuts down. It starts back up again. Ricketts will write a check for a bag of popcorn at that, or a bag of peanuts at that point. And then Javi has this terrible 2020. And as I reported to you guys, I think Ricketts wants to see the old Javi return. They're going to give him 40, 50 games, then maybe re-engage with their agents. It's kind of off to a slow start. I don't know if that was leaked on purpose to kind of put the pressure on Javi or not. And Buster has good sources, but I don't think it was as cut and dry. Like Rizzo was cut and dry. He turned down their last offer. Baez was in negotiations. You know, maybe they're talking incentives and this and that, and maybe an extra year and more money, less money, and then all of a sudden the pandemic hit. So I don't think it's like, hey, greedy Javi Baez turned down 180. They were going to find a middle ground, and then the clock ran out on them.
And I said earlier, before you gave us that info, Jesse, that it looks like Javi Baez is playing like he lost $180 million. So with everything that you just mentioned, whether it's the hard luck of time running out and COVID happening, to him having the bad season, to the pressure being on this year now to rebound, does this look like a guy who just has the contract in the back of his mind?
It does, but then I talk to people around him and they insist it's not the issue. That he's made more money than he ever thought he'd make, those all that stuff. He's still going to sign for a big contract, whether it's 130, 160. Like, I'm told he has that mind frame, that mindset that, okay, maybe I'm not going to get the 200, but if it's 140, that's still a lot of money. Now, that's what I'm being told. We can't get inside his head. Even the people around him can't get inside his head. I agree, and I've asked a lot of players about this. Starting the season without a contract passed this year, I know they're making a lot of money, but it weighs on guys. It really does, and there's a lot of Cubs in that category, so I cannot dismiss that. I agree with you. He seems to be pressing. You know, he is trying to do other things, steal some bases, which, you know, I think he's stolen the most in April that he's ever had, and we still have a half a month left. But he's still swinging out of his shoes and swinging at pitches outside the zone. That's probably not going to change. But if he just gets back to sort of 18, 19 hobby, I think you have a $150, $160 million player. I think the $200 million's out the door, though.
He's on pace right now for 43 home runs and 130 driven in. Just, those are crazy numbers. I get it. And he's going to bat 200 and be on base 28% of the time. But I just wanted to tell you both that he's on pace for 43 home runs and 130 driven in.
One of his backers says exactly that. He's not really off to a good start, yet he's still hitting homers and stealing bases and playing pretty good deep.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not trying to be his agent. I'm just saying.
It's interesting, when you put it that way.
Chris Bryant, you seen better from him, Jess?
Yeah, absolutely. Being healthy is so important. I mean, the extension, the base with his foundation. I talked to scouts about him recently. The extension with his arms. You know, he needs to lay off that outside pitch, but sometimes he gets a bad call. Then he starts to extend the zone, but you're not going to hit that way out there. So stop swinging and missing at that pitch. But other than that, he's healthy, and you see what he can do when he's healthy. It's just weird that they're individually, even Rizzo is starting to heat up, but collectively it just doesn't click. And this has been 3 years running on this. And Silva, you and I talked about this. I'm running a piece tomorrow on ESPN.com where I did talk to scouts, and you know, it's funny, and opposing pitchers as well. They have some answers. They speculate why the Cubs' offense is stalled. But in other areas, like why they aren't hitting fastballs, these are professional scouts, been paid, you know, their whole life to watch the game. They don't even understand some of the slumps that the Cubs are going through, why they are not hitting fastballs, why they're not better collectively. So when scouts and even opposing pitchers are confused, you can understand how fans are.
Yeah, it's the great Cub offensive mystery regarding that point. So I brought this up to Waddle earlier. You know, we know if Bryant keeps this up and the Cubs aren't good, they're going to spin him off. We know that's probably going to be the case with Kimbrel. Javi, we'll see. Rizzo, probably not. We don't know. What about Wilson Contreras, though? You've discussed Contreras trade rumors in the past. He is off to a good start. He's putting up good numbers. He is signed for more than this year. Is he a guy that could still bring them something back, or would they like a longer relationship with Wilson?
Yeah, these are good points. And the thing that's happening with him is there is a maturity going on. As as emotional as he can get, and you know, the bench is clear and stuff. You're hearing some good things within that locker room that, and he's even talked about it, that he is finding that right level where he wants to play with emotion. You know, I think for the longest time, and I will tell you, I heard when Ross was a player, and here's this brash guy coming up, I'm not sure he was Ross's cup of tea. I really think the best I'll say is I think guys rolled their eyes at Willie sometimes. The worst I'll say is they didn't always, you know, they weren't always happy at how emotional he was getting, because that would affect umpires and, you know, all that stuff. But he is finding that right level, and boy, does he have a pretty right-handed swing. Joe Maddon used to talk about that often. You could definitely get a lot back for him. And they will. I think what I was told in the offseason stands. Everybody is available. Everybody is available. So if they hear the right thing, I think he'd be moved. And I think he'd be moved this July. But he's also an extension candidate. You know, you work both lanes at that point. Like, he's a really good player. If we can get him on a team-friendly deal, he could be one of our anchors. But if we hear the right thing, since we are retooling, we're going to make a move. I think that's what they did with Yu Darvish, right? They heard the right thing, and they made the move in their mind. Difference is Willie doesn't make anything right now, but he certainly will in his next contract. One more year after this year, so they really have more things that are urgent in terms of Bryant, Rizzo, Baez. They can wait on Willie at least a little while.
All right, before we let you go, I want to ask you a Sox question about Kopech. I asked the guys this during Good, Bad, Dirty. If Kopech continues to progress like he's progressing, where he's pitching well, yesterday they extended him a little bit. He got that spot start. What is ideal for him? What's best for the White Sox this year for Michael Kopech? Is it that awesome weapon at any time during any big game that you could bring him in, or do you want him starting big games in August, September, and maybe October?
This is my opinion. I want him starting some big games. Until that point, I have no problem doing what he's doing right now. I mean, what did he say? The first thing he said in the post-game Zoom, I have a passion for starting. That's where I want to be. And I think La Russa is doing a great job navigating that. Look, I think he knows his stuff is good enough already. Right now, he would have to get stretched out. You got to worry about the arm, all that stuff. But I have no problem with him in these big moments now. But later on, and we'll see what the rest of the staff is doing. I mean, if they have four starters going well, then it's about need, also. But, man, I think starting a game in August, September with him on the mound, Giolito next to him, and, you know, before him, whatever, I think that would be really juicy, as long as his arm is holding up and all that stuff. So, look, it's an embarrassment of riches when everyone's healthy on that team right now. Lance Lynn's not. But you saw what that pitching staff could do in that doubleheader sweep. That was really good from both the starting rotation as well as the relief corps. I mean, Crochet came in, did his thing, and then, you know, Kopech starting. So I like the idea of him starting late in the season.
And real quick, Jess, finally, what do you make as a longtime baseball guy of what the Sox did by down 10-4 going into the seventh inning and pitching two regular players?
Well, it's just going to add to the legend that is your main Mercedes, for one, who says, by the way, he can throw in the 90s, but he held something back. I think La Russa told him to because he didn't want to line drive right back at him. I don't have a big problem with it. They just came off a doubleheader. A lot of pitchers used over the weekend in general. But that offense, I mean, I could see where you'd make a case. Like, wait one more inning. Let's see if that offense. I didn't really think about it when they brought him in. I was kind of more just enthralled by the fact he was on the mound. So
Don't you manage your son's baseball team?
Yeah, I know.
Would you guys tap out with two at-bats left?
Yeah, you always think you're in it. I guess in hindsight, it is surprising to wait till the eighth, right? I mean, to do it in the seventh is fairly early. It's not like it's a 15-run deficit. Right. I honestly didn't think about it too much at the time. I just love the fact he was doing it.
All right, Jess, it was good to see you the other day. We had a lot of fun.
Yes, we did. We solved all the world's problems.
I find that hard to believe.
We didn't solve one.
Really hard to believe.
We didn't solve one.
Not one. Jesse, all right, you're the best. Thank you.
Buddy.
Jesse Rogers brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Check them out today. So I want to know this as we've ventured to football. We have some chatter. Is Ryan Pace on the phone with the Miami Dolphins right now? That's next.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, so the Dolphins are in the number six slot, correct?
Yes, they have moved around quite a bit. Didn't they move from 3 to 12 and then 12 to 6? Something like that. Something like that. And they find themselves currently at 6. And from what I understand, reading Ian Rappaport, they may be looking to move down.
This is the chatter. Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network within the hour tweeted, the Dolphins have already made 2 moves in the NFL draft, and they may not be done yet. Sources say they've received calls from teams looking to trade up to number 6, and it's something they're considering. A lot of things in play, but Miami could be at it again.
The Bears are melting their phone lines.
Do you think so?
Yes!
So this would be where 1, 2, 3 go quarterbacks. Now, we don't know who's going 3, right? Isn't this the biggest debate out there right now with San Francisco?
I think it's Mac Jones or maybe Trey Lance.
Right. Like, they've been in, like, a lot of, there was a lot of, like, talk about the Trey Lance buzz. Like, that they've had him work with one of Shanahan's guys for this workout.
Right, but think about who Shanahan has dealt with in the past and liked. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins. That's kind of the mold of who Mac Jones is, right? So, like, if you connect the dots, that's kind of the direction that would be where I would.
That's what Peter King said today, too, in his opus. He said that he doesn't have any sources.
His opus.
He doesn't have any sources, but he is connecting dots like you are.
Yes.
And thinks that that Mac Jones will go.
Mike Lombardi has done the same thing. I've seen some of his stuff as well, and he's like, look, I mean, if you want to read the tea leaves.
What are they doing then? This is what I asked Black a little while ago. What are the 49ers doing to create smoke? Are they looking for someone to come up to 3, and then they can move down a couple of spots and still get Mac Jones? Like, what?
I don't know.
Want Mac Jones, and they moved up to 3 for a reason, why are they creating this?
They're just going to pro days. I mean, that's doing your due diligence. That's being responsible. Like, we'd be killing Ryan if he didn't do that.
That's true,
I mean,
too,
like,
yeah.
So, look, you don't know what's going to transpire. What happens if, for whatever reason, the Jets throw everyone a curveball and take Mac Jones ahead of the kid from BYU? Like, you don't know. You don't expect it, but you can't be caught with your football pants down.
Right, and we have here.
I don't even know that
times.
We put our football pants on.
That's,
I think we go outside with shoulder pads and a jersey with no football pants on.
We try to put our football pants on two legs at a time.
Yeah.
Just laying down on the ground trying to pull them over your
Did
legs.
You see someone tweeted too yesterday that the Cubs mascot had pants on yesterday in the bleachers? That this was a first time sighting for pants on. What's his name again? What's the Cubs mascot name?
Scrappy Doo? I don't know.
Clark.
Clark the Cub. Clark the Cub was sighted with pants on in the bleachers yesterday. This was a big development.
Screaming Frederick.
Along with the Rizzo rundown, yes. Laughs and lollipops. And pants. So someone tweeted me, David tweeted, saying, why would the Dolphins, who, like, think about because of all these guys at the top of the draft going quarterback, 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 1, 2, 3. And maybe who knows how the other two are going to fall. That this is pushing some of these great prospects. You love Pitts. You think Pitts is
player in the draft, regardless of position.
And your top 10 continues. We'll count that down. Your top 10 prospects today. We're up to number 9. We'll do that in 5:30. His point was to David, why would the Dolphins, who are at 6, who could get lots of stuff at 6, or even if they trade down a few spots, why would they want to go to 20? Why would they want to go from 6 to 20 if Ryan Pace is
calling? Okay, well, this is the answer. Okay, they've shown you the ability to be mobile and agile. They could take 20, or they could take their number, trade it to the Bears, and get three ones?
At least,
maybe
right?
A couple
and other
twos.
Stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so then what I do is I take those 3 extra number ones. I don't need a quarterback. I take the 3 number ones. And whatever else I get, I package a couple of things, and maybe I move back up. And at the end of the day, I'm picking 15th. I get a quality player, and I walk away with 2 extra ones in the future. I mean, that's what good football teams do.
Right. They did, like Baltimore, like I told you about how Baltimore got Lamar Jackson. They traded down twice.
Sure.
And then they took the capital and they moved back in for a second first round pick.
If you're picking at six, you're probably in line to get one of the wide receivers. Pitts will probably be gone if it goes the way it's planned. The offensive lineman from Oregon, Penei Sewell, will go to the Bengals, right? Isn't that what everyone has shown? Who's at six? Is it the Dolphins at six?
Right, but who's Atlanta taking? Is that did you skip Atlanta there?
Well, they could go Pitts. They could go quarterback. They could do whatever. My point is that there you can get Ja'Marr Chase. You can get Devontae Smith.
Some of the
you
best
can
of
get
the best.
Some of the best of the best. You get one of the tackles. Like, or you could move back, get two number ones going forward, and still get a quality player.
See, because the Dolphins, to me, sitting at six, are taking calls now.
Yes.
Dependent on what the Falcons do. Because if the Falcons take a quarterback, we know the Bengals aren't taking a quarterback.
That's the next spot for one.
That's the next spot for one. And so they can just, already have six. They've had, if you go back to last year's draft, they had six picks in the first three rounds. They already have six picks in this year's first three rounds.
Yeah.
So now they're just like, come at me, whatever. So I bet you they're taking phone calls on whether or not the Falcons take a quarterback. Because if the Falcons take a quarterback, there's only one guy left. And that means that whoever wants it is going to have to give up
whatever
they want to come up to that spot.
And then here's the other part why a team would go down to get multiple picks from the Bears. Why did the Bears get Khalil Mack from the Raiders and not the Packers?
Because the Raiders believe that the Bears would be picking higher.
Yeah, and they'd be worse.
Right.
So think about if you're another team and you can get three firsts from the Bears, and you know that these guys are desperate, you know that this could be the end of their run, and you know that if the Bears' plan fails, they could be the Jets or the Jaguars in these next couple of years, that you may be going from 6 to 20 this year, but you could have like lottery picks, technically lottery picks for the next several years.
Keep this in mind as well. I've read some things about this draft. While it's going to be known for its quarterbacks, there are a number of players that maybe would have come out that going back to school because of COVID. There are guys that, like, I read a stat about how many guys have actually signed with agents, and it's ridiculously low compared to years gone by. I think that there is some uncertainty about this year's draft because of all that has transpired, that other people feel that 2022 and 23 will be more stable.
Oh, and then you could scout these guys differently, too. And
Correct.
You could do not just pro days, but you can do individual workouts.
There's a lot of boards where you've got guys that normally would be graded as either seventh rounders or free agents afterwards that are going to be drafted because of the nature of this year's. I've read that on a couple of spots.
Right.
So,
Trey Lance played one game.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. And now you're projecting that. So 312-332-3776. If I were to predict today, I am predicting an uneventful draft for the Bears. I think they're going to be boring on draft day, which may not be boring in the long run, which that may be the smartest move for the Bears. But you think there's a good chance they go up, right?
Yes, I think Ryan Pace has shown you that when he's got his sights set on something, he's willing to pretty much give up whatever it is he's got for it.
All right, what do you think? 312-332-3776. As you make a prediction here, the draft begins a week from Thursday. 332-3776. Waddle is also giving us his top 10 NFL prospects. These are not a mock draft analysis. These are his 10 best players available in the draft. We're up to number 9 today. He'll unveil that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Something went down the wrong pipe for Waddle during the break, right?
I'm spending time eating cold French fries.
Karma.
Why is that karma, though?
He was throwing him at me hard as he could.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was chucking him at him.
Why were you throwing French fries?
One actually hit him in the back of the neck, and it sounded like I hit him with a dodgeball. It just thumped him.
One whizzed past my ear. And then this had, yeah, and then you
and
get
then
that.
Half a bad fry went down the wrong pipe.
That is karma. You're right about that. I didn't know that he was whipping fries at you.
You guys ever see the videos of someone who tries to take an entire spoonful of cinnamon? And then they're they accidentally breathe in. They're that's what you were doing.
I was making a bunch of sound effects.
Are you okay? That was him. You're on your back.
That was him making fun of me. He was making loud noises as I was trying to cough a fry up.
It was like, you know.
And then I tried to blow the fry through my nose. You know how sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it gets caught, but if you blow your nose, the food will actually recycle through the wrong way and then it'll come out your nose.
Can you cry it out? It's all sinuses, isn't it?
Stop it. It's not coming out your eyeballs. It can come out your nose, though.
You've never seen that thing where, like, the person takes the...
I have on Ripley's. I've seen it.
They take, like,
I've
the piece it. Of pasta.
Yeah. Comes through the eye hole.
And they go...
Not the eye hole. They go through the nose and the mouth.
Look it up. Ripley's.
Really?
Look. I'm serious.
I used to love Ripley's, believe it or not.
Right. How about that's count incredible. Me as, I don't believe it.
They're like this, with the pulling it through.
Through the eye.
Yeah.
Through the eye socket?
And then you guys remember the one where they'd shoot out the stuff through the eye? You remember that one, the milk through the eye?
Oh, maybe I have seen that. And then the woman
I think you were on the wrong site for that, Chris.
No, I was on the right site.
Who's the woman who always would do those
bulge out her eyes?
Yeah, the bulging woman.
It was the same episode, the milk
bulging
shooter
woman.
Yeah. No, we're talking about the same.
Are we calling them eyes now? Is that what we're doing?
Can I take this call then while you're choking, and then we'll get to your list?
Yeah.
Should I do that?
Of course.
Lewis in Wheaton, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Lou?
Hey, what's up going on, guys? Before I get into my thing about pace, I'm just going to say I have actually experienced the out-the-eye thing. I was so ill, it came out my eyes.
What came out through your eye?
Oh, yeah. It was bad. It was bad.
What was it? What came out of your eye?
Vomit.
There's no vomit can't come out of your eyes.
It's such a gross word, too.
Anyway, but the reason I called...
the pressure for vomit to get through your nasal cavities and up through your eyeballs and come out of your eye sockets, like, I would think that your entire head would blow off of your shoulders.
It was... it didn't. I'm alive to tell you the story. But anyway, Pace...
Okay, Cap.
This is exactly what's going to happen. Pace is going to trade up. He's going to mess it up because that's what Pace does. And we're going to be in the hole for years to come. I've got no faith. I want him to stay put or move back. That's what I want to see. But I know that that's not going to happen. I'd love your thoughts on it.
Okay, Lewis, I'm with you. Look, the whole conviction thing is I want competence. I don't want conviction. I'd like both. I'd like a guy who makes a decision that is a competent decision and he does it with conviction. Okay, that's kind of what I want. What it takes in this environment, 2021, to move up from 20 to the point where you're going to be drafting the fourth or fifth quarterback, based on what people are projecting it's going to cost, I wouldn't give it up. I just wouldn't. If you ask me to give up three number ones, a defensive starter, and maybe a number three for Russell Wilson, fine. I'm in. Because I've seen a guy play the position at an elite level for 9 years.
Yes. He's everything you want in your franchise.
I can't give up the same package for a guy who's never taken a snap in the NFL. That guy may turn out to be the second coming of Dan Marino. But history tells us that guy won't be. And I just can't give up all of that for somebody who hasn't taken an NFL snap. That's
right,
just me.
Right.
I don't know if that's being pigheaded or not being open-minded or not, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yep. Do you want to take this call?
Take Tim in Aurora. It says you can vomit out of your eye.
Tim in Aurora. I just Googled it, too, on the computer, and I felt dirty doing it. Tim in Aurora, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I clarified... that I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you that it's connected through your nasal cavities and your tear ducts somehow, because I can plug my nose, put my head under water, and I can blow, and I can get air to come out of my tear ducts. So if you force enough liquid through your nasal, now I can't breathe through. I can blow air out. I have not tried to take air in.
Tim, what led you to do this science experiment? Like, you're one day, you're like, hey, I'm at the pool. You see that she's a really pretty girl over there. I'm going to mesmerize her by shooting water out of my tear ducts.
Wouldn't it be great if that's all it took? I honestly can't tell you. It was something I figured out when I was very young, and nobody believed me either until one day I just went underwater in the pool and blew and bubbles were coming out of my eyes.
We're going to have to invite Tim over for like a Memorial Day party or something.
This is like Letterman's stupid human tricks, yeah. Right?
Now, my buddy Vogel has a friend who tried to get on the Letterman stupid human trick show by taking a goldfish, okay, and I think snorting it through his nose and spitting it out his mouth, which right, is really so no big deal.
And they, no, a lot of people can do that, right? I couldn't, but a lot of people
listen, I get it. I know everything's connected. I just figured, like, you know, you got a nostril. That's a hole right there. That's a big hole. Your mouth is a giant hole, okay? Your tear duct or your eyeballs, like, there's no space. There's no space for puke to come out my... There's space for puke to come out my nostrils. There's no space for puke to come out my eyes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know.
We're not talking about chunky puke, but if you're puking, everything's coming out.
Are you sure it's not like I have puked to the point where my eyes watered? Maybe that's what you're talking about.
I've been there, too. Yeah, those are rough nights.
I haven't puked in a long time. Like, I haven't puked since the Super Bowl party where I went to bed with all of my clothes on.
It's only 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
It's not that long. 3 years ago.
It's not a long streak.
3 years? People haven't puked in 3 years?
There are people who have a decade-long puke
No, but
streak.
I'm saying, like, I haven't puked even because of the stomach flu or anything.
Right, I know. It's great.
I haven't puked. I've cursed myself. I'll probably go home and hurl tonight, but
that's
I
why
puked
when
in
you
3 years.
When you were choking, it's a very, like, sensitive thing, right? Whenever you are walking in public now and someone's coughing a lot, aren't you, like, on
high
alert?
That's what you were doing. You were over there going, whoa! Whoa! Like, I'm double vaccinated. I'm over here in the corner trying to spit out a French fry. I mean, like,
we saw a guy on vacation.
The support I get from my radio partner over here is, whoa, get away from me.
You have to justify each cough. You have to be like, wrong pipe.
I know. I just,
allergies.
I shouldn't have even had to justify it. I just should have sat over here in the corner and coughed.
We saw on vacation a guy who I walked by him. It was bad timing on my part. I was walking to the pool. He was in a lounge chair. I was walking behind him. And right as I walked by him, he let off the world's largest sneeze. You know, the guys who have to, like, let the world know that I'm sneezing, that I can't control how loud my sneeze is. It is the, and then literally 30 seconds later, he picked his nose and pulled a Beheim and ate it.
Oh.
Same
okay,
guy.
I
was said to my
you
wife.
You buried the lead there early.
I said to my wife, I go, right when I walked by that guy, do you hear that sneeze? I was right behind him when that happened, and I still wasn't fully vaccinated. I was wearing a mask. And then as I was pointing to him, like, secretly, we both looked, and she witnessed it with me. He picked his nose and he ate it. Like, how do we ever expect any of this to go away when we have people acting that way?
I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I don't eat my boogers. So I can't add any clarity to that. I don't know what's going on there. I would assume if you're taking something out of your nose and putting it in your mouth, all you're doing is you're rearranging the furniture.
I understand.
So you're really, if you're infected, you're infected. You're not more infected.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to Waddle's list. It's, don't die on us, okay? It's Waddle and Selvey. 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Selvey is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Mortgage interest rates have started to rise at the Home Loan Expert office. They're still locking in loans in the twos. How much can you save? Check out my guy, Ryan Kelly, at thehomeloanexpert.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, so Waddle is going to be breaking down the top 10 players on his big board. I didn't know Waddle had a big board until recently.
Oh, I got a big board, all right.
And we gave you player number 10. If you missed it, you can hop on the Waddle and Sylvie Instagram page. We're all on Instagram. We have a show page as well. It's at Waddle and Sylvie on Instagram. You can follow Waddle on Instagram on his personal page.
Where is that?
That's TommyBoy87.
Are you sure?
I'm at Mark A. Silverman, M-A-R-C, middle initial A. Boys, where are you guys on Instagram? You're both on the gram as well.
C. Bleck and also Bleck and Abdallah on Instagram as a show Instagram, too.
Boom. And at Adam A. Abdallah.
There you go. We're all there. I love Instagram. I find myself scrolling through Instagram a bit.
What do you call it when you subtweet on Instagram?
I don't subtweet on Instagram.
Okay.
I don't. You know what I do on Instagram? I buy a lot of stuff that's advertised. I am one of those guys who falls for all the Instagram ads.
You can buy
ads.
Stuff on Instagram?
Well, no, I fall for the Instagram ads, the targeted advertising that they use to...
So the influencers are influencing you.
Yes. Yes, I'm being influenced and I'm being targeted and I'm falling for all of it. I'm clicking on all those links.
Gotcha.
What do you got, Waddle? Who's number 9 on your big board?
Number 9, the name is familiar. Wide receiver from the University of Alabama, Jalen Waddle. I believe Jalen Waddle is the most explosive player in this year's draft with the ball in his hands. Now, I'm not suggesting you he's the best route runner. I'm not suggesting to you that he's the best overall receiver. I'm just telling you, when the ball is in his hands, I don't think there is a more dangerous player in college football right now.
Wow.
Punt returns, kick returns, catching the ball and running after the catch. He's not as big as I thought he was a year ago. Like, I always had this opinion of him as, like, being 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's 5'9 and a half and 180 pounds. He's more equipped to play in the slot, but when you factor in what he can do as a receiver and as a punt returner, I believe he's the ninth best player in college football this year, the ninth best player in this draft is a better way to say it, not the ninth best player in college football. He averaged 21 and a half yards per catch.
Mm.
In 2020, he averaged 17 yards per catch in 2019. He averaged 18.8 yards per catch in 2018. So this is a guy that averages about 18 and a half yards per catch. He's a touchdown machine. He's great on special teams. Jalen Waddle is my number 9 guy on my big board. That's two Alabama players. 9, 10, and 9. At Jack, Mac Jones, not Jack Jones. I had Mac Jones at number 10, and I have Jalen Waddle.
Those the last two Alabama players?
What's that?
Were those the last two Alabama players?
No.
Oh.
Interesting.
No, they're not.
What'd you guys make, too, of while we're on this topic? I was going to bring this up Friday. You know, Trevor Lawrence did an article. I forget where it was written, and he was quoted in there on how he doesn't have this chip on his shoulder. You know, like, there are a lot of guys who have this chip on their shoulder.
Why do you have to have a chip on your shoulder was my first response.
Yeah. And then so a lot, all the, you know how today's sports media works. Everyone debates everything that is said these days, especially from the guy who's going to be picked number one in the draft. And people, does he love football? Is he going to Andrew Luck this thing? Is he going to just quit one day on his team and walk away? Does he not care as much about winning championships as some of the other ones, like a Tom Brady who lives and breathes and eats football? And he came out over the weekend and, like, fired off a bunch of tweets. He goes, don't get me wrong. I love football as much as anything in my life. But I think you had a good take regarding that. Like, why do you need that chip?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's what inspires you, great. I don't think he needs a chip to be an excellent football player. You put on the film, you see a guy that's very talented. You see a guy that it means a lot to him. You interview him, you talk to him, you see him on different interviews. You know that football is a huge thing to him. I thought that that was odd. Why does Trevor Lawrence, quote unquote, I mean, that's football jargon to begin with. He's got a chip on his shoulder. What, quantify a chip on your shoulder. Trying to prove you're wrong. He's been the number one rated quarterback prospect since he was probably 14 years old.
Right, right. You know, it's funny because we always, especially in this business, I don't know if fans necessarily care, but we in this business are always like, oh, I hate the cliche athletic answer. You know, just the athlete speak, coach speak. Give us something. Give us something of substance. Tell us how you really feel. You've always termed it truth serum. If you were to tell us with truth serum how you really feel, how do you feel? And then when someone is honest, when someone is in an article saying, look, I was the number one ranked high school player. I was the number one ranked college player. I've been the number one ranked guy coming out in the draft. Right. There's no one's been ripping me for me to have a chip on my shoulder yet. Right. At this stage, now everyone's ripping him, saying that he doesn't care.
They have him projected to be the number one pick and have had him projected forever. Like, I don't know. You have a chip on your shoulder when people are doubting you.
Right.
Nobody's doubting him.
Right.
And maybe he will be successful. Maybe he won't. I like everything I see from him. But, like, that's not a red flag for me, all of this nonsense about he doesn't talk like he's got a chip on his shoulder. I mean, spend some time watching his interviews. Watch how he plays the games. Watch how he carries himself. I don't have any problem with
it. He won a championship, right? I mean, he's been to, what, two national championships games?
So.
It's not like the way he's been doing business has been bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? So whatever Trevor Lawrence is doing.
And now, if you said to me Justin Fields has a chip on his shoulder, I mean, that's more understandable to me because Justin Fields is being talked about as possibly the fourth or fifth quarterback taken.
Right.
And if you go back in time, like, you go back to the early high school days, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields have been 1-2 throughout the course of this entire journey, throughout the high school camps. It's through, there's a great piece on Trent Dilfer's Elite 11 camp where Trent's talking to both of them. They're high school kids. And Trent's like, listen, this has been nip and tuck the whole way to see who is the MVP of the camp. It's Trevor Lawrence and it's Justin Fields. So, like, if there's anyone out there that you would identify with having a chip on their shoulder, it would be Justin Fields, who, oh, by the way, played exceptionally well on the biggest stage under the brightest lights as well, and has always been considered the number one or number two prospect since early in high school. So this is what you get when you're weeks away from the
That's right. We keep talking about all these takes. Everyone's got to have a, quote, take. Like, that to me is a take and not an opinion, you know? Like, if you're second-guessing Trevor Lawrence at this point, based on something that he says in an article, we've got too much time when we talk draft.
By the way, real quick as well, there was news today that the Bears have re-signed safety to Sean Gibson that we didn't talk about. I think that's good to keep him in the fold. I thought he was one of the more reliable defenders on that defense.
He could tackle, too. I liked him. He's not scared to get his nose dirty.
He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Right. Much better player than Ha Ha Clinton Dix was for the Bears. Thank you to Eddie Olchek. We got Hawks to watch tonight. We've got the Bulls to watch tonight. Jesse Rogers, thank you to him. We've got Bleck and Abdallah to thank. And they're coming up in 2 short minutes from right now. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.